Our opening hymn today is Come Ye Thankful People Come. The writer of the words was Henry Alford, who was educated at Trinity College in Cambridge in the United Kingdom. George J. Elvey, who was born in Canterbury in England in 1816, wrote the music. He was educated at Oxford and at the Royal Academy of Music. He also composed hymn tunes, anthems, oratorios and service music. Come, ye thankful people, come.
Thank you.
Now let us pray together, please. Dear Heavenly Father, at this time of year, we are particularly pleased to give you thanks for your provision for us each day. We're mindful that without your care for us, we simply could not exist. So as we celebrate, we realise that you provide for us because you love us. Remind us, we ask, that your provision is made up not just of food, but of all that we need when we live to glorify you. Help us to be focused on serving you and always to be aware that you have provided everything we need to do all you ask us. Remind us too how blessed we are to be called by you to represent you, and by the provision of the anointing of your Holy Spirit, we will reveal to those around us the wonder of serving you. This we ask in the precious and worthy name of Jesus. Amen.
A cornet solo now entitled Wonderful Grace. The words associated with the melody are: Wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned, then lets me go free. Wonderful grace that gives me the time to change, washes away the stains that once covered me. And all that I have, I lay at the feet of the wonderful Saviour who loves me. Wonderful love that held in the face of death, breathed in its latest breath, forgiveness for me. Wonderful love, whose power can break every chain, giving us life again, setting us free. The soloist is my nephew, Andrew Schofield, who plays in the Meadowlands Salvation Army Band in Canada. And it's my real pleasure to present Andrew playing here today, as he's not only a very good cornet player, but I'm really proud of this fine young man who loves and serves the Lord. Here is Andrew playing Wonderful Grace.
Our next hymn is To Thee, O Lord. Most British hymn writers in the 19th century were clergymen, but William C. Dix, who was born in Bristol in England, was a notable exception. Trained in the business world, he became the manager of a marine insurance company in Glasgow, Scotland. The composer of the tune, Golden Sheaves, is the notable Sir Arthur Sullivan. To Thee, O Lord. God's tithes and our offerings. As we celebrate harvest, we are reminded that there are those who sow and reap so that all of us might be fed. Indeed, if the sowing and reaping were left to many of us, the majority in the world would go hungry. Our skills are undoubtedly useful in many ways, but we are dependent on the farmers who sow and reap a variety of food so that the world can be fed. But the distribution of the harvested produce is another aspect of the harvest, and it needs financing. Equally, the gospel, which not only feeds our souls, it prepares us for eternal life, and it is so important it needs organising and financing. Allocating part of our finance to God's mission on earth is the way that we respond to his plan to offer eternal life to the world. So may I invite you to be God's sowers and reapers by financing the different ways to bring his word to the world. And may you be blessed as you do so. What harvest celebration would be complete without we plough the fields and scatter? The words by Matthias Claudius, who was a German poet, translated by Jane Campbell. The music, Johann Abraham Peter Schulz, a German musician.
An excerpt now from a descriptive composition by Kenneth Cook, Songs of the Seasons.
Thank you.
Our Bible reading is taken from John chapter 15 and are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen. The writer of our next hymn, Bringing in the Sheaves, was Noel Shaw, who was born near New London in Morgan Township, Ohio, on the 30th of October, 1834. But both his parents were from Scotland. Most of his time after entering the ministry was spent in the west and south of the USA, and he had a wonderful voice, so it's said. His last meeting was held in Dallas, in Texas, in May 1878. He was killed by a railroad accident going from Dallas to McKinney on the 7th of June, 1878. During his ministry, he baptized over 11,000 persons. The words here were inspired by Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Shaw also wrote music for these words, but they are now usually set to a tune by George Minor, written in 1880, with which we are all no doubt very familiar. Bringing in the Sheaves. Rejoicing. a poem now entitled Seeds. Seeds that are sown, more of their kind produce. For mighty oaks, 'tis acorns we must sow. From ages past, no other way is found. The law of nature says that it is so. In meadow and in hedgerow it applies. From tadpole to the frog, it is God's way. From pupa comes the butterfly we see. All living things the laws of God obey. And Christians too are birthed by Christian seeds. God's Spirit feeds and nourishes with care examples of the Master's life we sow. At harvest time the seed its fruit will bear, but words alone and not the deeds of Christ cannot suffice, nor angry turns of phrase they cannot fledgling Christians bring to life. For we are subject to God's sovereign ways. If we have sown some seed that we regret, it cannot be recalled, its path retake. But if we plant more seeds of love and grace, they can and will the bad seeds soon replace. If what we sow we know we all must reap, that sown in us by God must be our seed. To sow and sow until the harvest time, this is our task, and this must be our creed. We're very used to hearing the hymn All Things Bright and Beautiful sung to an old familiar tune. But here, the well-known words written by Cecile Alexander are married to a delightful tune by John Rutter. It's sung by the Croydon Citadel Songsters. All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Lord God, may them all. In the days of Jesus, Israel is pictured as the vine. In Isaiah 5, we read, "The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel." It's a thought that is repeated in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Psalms. In fact, the vine had become the emblem on the coins of the Maccabees. On the temple was the great golden vine on the front of the holy place. Jesus calls himself the true vine. In the Old Testament, the mention of the vine is to illustrate that the vine has run wild. In claiming to be the true vine, Jesus is saying that the nation has become a degenerate vine, and the only way to be saved is to be grafted onto the true vine, that is Jesus. He's saying that it was not Jewish blood that can save people. It is only by faith in Jesus that anyone can be saved. The vine is a very interesting plant. Wherever it's planted, it requires a great deal of attention, whether it be on the terraces, where it is often planted, or even on the ground, where it is planted at least 12 feet apart as it creeps over the ground at speed. It grows luxuriantly and must be pruned drastically. The vine is pruned in December and January and bears two kind of branches, one that bears fruit and one which doesn't. Those which don't produce fruit are pruned, not in the hope that they will, in due course, produce fruit, but that they will drain away the plant's strength. The vine cannot produce the fruit of which it is capable without that drastic pruning. But Jesus not only honours those who in him, the true vine, produce the fruit, that is to reproduce his life in us, he says something quite wonderful to those who are not doing that. Jesus well knew the curious characteristic of the wood of the vine. It's too soft for anything. It was laid down that the people must bring wood to the temple for the altar fires, but that didn't include the wood of the vine. It was useless for anything except for a bonfire. Let our thoughts go to the average church today, please. There are various kinds of members. To use the terminology of John's Gospel, there are some who are producing good fruit and some who aren't. Allow me to be somewhat blunt for a moment, please. I think we would all accept that to be a Christian, it means having the ambition and intention of being like Jesus. If we're fortunate, we belong to a church in which there are such people. Not only can they be relied on to show to other members of the congregation how Jesus would act and respond in the various circumstances which arise, but they are a reminder that Jesus found people to whom he said, "Come, follow me." In churches, there will be those who have a record of bringing others to Jesus. They are bearing fruit. Yet I'm sure you will agree that there are many church members who have never, not ever, seen the result of those words. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." They're content to enjoy the fellowship of other members. Perhaps they are part of a family who have been members of the church for a long while. And although they are good living people, they don't feel under any obligation to bring non-believers in Jesus to accept him as Lord and Saviour of their lives. That's the minister's task. Well, as a minister of many years, I have met so many people who have never known the joy of bringing someone to know Jesus. They contribute to the church in many ways and are decent people, but are inclined to consider evangelism as the gift of others. They're happy enough to welcome those who come into the church, who have been invited by others, or who have transferred from some other church, and we need those caring people. But unless individually we continually echo the words to people, Jesus said, "Come, follow me," the churches, our church, will inevitably empty. It's my conviction that there are two main reasons for this to happen. Firstly, lovely, decent, hard-working people in churches do not feel it their responsibility to invite and bring people to church, let alone introduce them to Jesus. This can be seen if they are asked how many people they have brought to Jesus in the past 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, their lifetime. And secondly, there is a reluctance to listen to the Holy Spirit's guidance. He it is who matches us with the people who will respond to our particular personalities. But all is not lost. While Jesus identifies those who do not bear much fruit for him, that is, to be so like him that people will accept his invitation to follow him, and indeed gives a stern warning of those who simply pay lip service to him, he provides all we need to be fruitful. To be anointed by his Holy Spirit is offered to us all, and he will transform the hesitant to the courageous, the unwilling to the willing, and the independence on our own opinion of what we feel we want to do to the empowering of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do as Jesus would do and to be confident to offer those we meet to follow Jesus. So as we think of the regular sowing and reaping of harvest, would you allow me to give a challenge? Will you allow God to prune you, to let him take your reluctance to speak his words to those who are not Christians, and resolve to bring someone new to your place of worship, and to tell them that Jesus is inviting them to follow him? If you have someone in particular who the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind to offer them the invitation Jesus has for them to follow him, if you would like me to place a prayer request for them and your approach to them, I'd be more than willing to do that. There are approaching 100 people on a People of Prayer group which are committed to praying for the request we receive on Veil Ministries. As a consequence, I would love to hear about the results of what happens when you extend to some unbeliever or unbelievers the invitation from Jesus, "Come, follow me." May you know the joy of bringing someone to him. There is no experience quite like it. May God bless you.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to breath of God, until my heart is pure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until the sacred part of me
May our love for Jesus be shown in our commitment to his commandments, and may the love of God, the passion of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in you inspire the world to believe in Jesus. Amen.